unprecedented. Such insults are unprecedented, even if we want to measure it with the satanic verses which was written by Salman Rushdie or what was published in some of the European newspapers, the insulting cartoons to the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, or the burning of some copies of the Holy Quran in America. However, of course, these are all big issues and dangerous. However, what we witnessed lately is a lot bigger and a lot more dangerous. With respect to the satanic verses, in the end, this book, it wasn't distributed to many people. It didn't fall into the hands of many people. And all those who want to read it need to buy it. And maybe if it's on the internet, with respect to the insulting cartoons, they are insulting in one direction. Of course, the burning of the Quran, the repercussions are known. However, in this particular issue, we're witnessing a film and scenes which people, young and old, understand. They don't need any language. This film doesn't need any language, and it can be seen by anyone on the internet, which exists all over the world. So, in content, and also in the form, what happened and what is happening now is very big and very dangerous. And what is even worse is the insistence of the websites which are distributing and uploading these scenes, their insistence on continuing to broadcast and not to stop uploading these scenes. This is something which is very dangerous in the war on Islam and the war on the Prophet and the insults to Islam and the Prophet. And this requires from us to take a big stance. The great Islamic Ummah must take a big stance on the level of the danger and the attack or the assault, because the greatest thing, the most sacred thing which we belong to, the most honorable thing which we belong to after God, is the Prophet, our great Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. And I believe even more, I can also say that what happened is more dangerous than the burning of the Aqsa Mosque in 1969. In 1969, when part of the Aqsa Mosque was burnt, many Arab countries and many Islamic countries, and a summit was held on the level of heads of state, princes, rulers and presidents. And following that period, we saw the establishment of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, the OIC, or the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Being silent to such insults to the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, being silent to this now, it's more dangerous. And I'd like to add that the Ummah, any Ummah which is silent to insults, such insults of its Prophet, insults of such a level, of such magnitude, this silence sends a wrong message to the Israelis that they can destroy the Aqsa Mosque, because you are confronting an Ummah which is asleep and incapable of doing anything. Today, defending the Prophet, Allah's Prophet, may peace be upon him, means defending all of his sanctities. It means defending the Aqsa Mosque. It means defending all of your prophets, Prophet Abraham and Moses and Jesus, and defending all of the holy religions and all of the holy books. And so, in understanding the magnitude of this issue, we must then specify our responsibilities. We must not deal with it as a issue which is passing by or something which we can jump over and deal with just like any other normal event which happens in the world. Second of all, in the way to deal with it, in the way to confront, when we confront any assault, if we speak on the level of the good thought, good thinking, in confronting any assault on a people or on an ummah, whether this assault be a military assault or whether it be a political assault or an ideological assault or cultural or economic, normally we work on two tracks. The first track is to know the goals of the assault and to disrupt the achievement of these goals, to make this a failure, to prevent the assault from achieving its aims. The second track is to work in order to prevent the repetition of such an assault or such an aggression, closing the door completely to a repetition, to understand or to make the enemy understand that he should not go back to such a sin or to such an aggression or to such a crime. Normally, we work on these two tracks. Now, at the beginning, I'll speak about the first track. There are goals and aims for these repeated insults of Islam and the Prophet of Allah and the Holy Book, the Book of Allah. We can put a list of aims. Of course, I don't have time to speak about all of the goals and all of the aims, but I'd like to focus on one of the most dangerous aims of this. This aim is to bring about sedition between Muslims and Christians, dragging the Muslims and the Christians into a religious, sectarian, bloody conflict in the whole world. This is one of the aims of these types of aggressions or these types of assaults which we witness time and again. And what assures or what highlights this point is those who stand. Who stands behind these kinds of assaults? We can speak about the Zionist movement, we can speak about some Jewish groups, Israel. However, always at the forefront, there must be either a Muslim who has abandoned his religion, like Salman Rushdie, or a Christian. Now, with respect to the burning of the copies of the Holy Quran, we were presented with a Christian pastor, a Christian religious person, Jones, who did this in front of the whole world. Now, with respect to this movie, a Coptic person called X, I don't want to name him because we must certify his name, we must certify all of this evidence. However, they said a Coptic person was behind it and a Coptic group in the United States of America was behind this film. Why do they push priests or religious figures or Christian groups? Why do they put them at the forefront? So in their name, this assault will be made. These insults will be made to Islam and the Prophet of Islam and the Islamic Ummah. This is something deliberate. Why? Because they believe, and also in the European newspapers and those who drew the insulting cartoons or pictures of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, those people behind this, they assume that the Muslims, when they see these movies, when they see these cartoons and pictures, they will be very angry because of their Prophet and their religion and their Quran, and because the mindset of revenge and anger leads to hasty action, some Christian groups are accused, and then the Christians are subject to assault. Christians are attacked, the sanctities of the Christians are attacked, the symbols of a Christian religion are attacked, and so hence then we Muslims and Christians, we enter into a bloody sectarian religious conflict. And Israel and the Zionist movement, the Jewish Zionist movement and the Christian Zionist movement, then they sit down on their tower to see the bodies, the churches and mosques which are burnt, the body parts from men and women, children, Muslims and Christians here and there, and then hence their wishes will be fulfilled. Thank God, and here I must point out to this, because of the way in which the spiritual and political leaders, whether they be Muslim or Christian, because of the way they dealt with these events before, in confronting this new incident or this new event, the anger of the Arab people and the Islamic people focused on the policies of the United States of America and Israel, and the anger was not focused on the Christians. And this is a very excellent signal. It's very positive because this reflects the high level of vigilance of Muslims and Christians, both of them. Everybody was worried with respect to Egypt first and foremost, because he who was accused of this film was, as we heard in the media, was a Coptic Christian and the group of Coptic Christians. And it is clear that there is someone who is trying to bring about fighting between Muslims and Coptic Christians. Anyway, today some Christian leaders spiritual leaders and also political figures, and first and foremost the high ranking religious figures here in the East, Christian religious figures in the East, they denounced and they condemned this film, and this had a very big effect in disrupting the goal which those people wanted to achieve. Of course, I believe that this assault will continue, such assaults will continue in different forms, and they haven't ended because the scenes are still on the internet, the video is still on the internet, and the producers and those who are responsible of the film are threatening that they will upload the whole film, and they are speaking about 2 hours, a movie or film of 2 hours. If we can't put up with 12 minutes, then what can we say about 2 hours? Now, in light of the ongoing assault, which we believe will continue and be renewed in new forms, we must highlight this vigilance of the Muslims and of the Christians, and we must not allow ourselves to head towards sedition in any country, in any arena, in any place of the world. Those who must be punished, those who must be held or must be tried, are those who are responsible, who are directly responsible for this film, and those who stand behind them, and those who support them, and those who protect them. First and foremost, the United States of America. Now, by the way, in some countries, we find there are assaults launched by people who say they are Muslim against Christian churches, or groups targeting Christian civilians or Christian sanctities. The Christians here are also called upon to fight those who are responsible for the attacks only and those who support them and protect them. And we must abstain from any kind of sedition because we are sure and certain that some of these groups who allege that they are Muslim, they are being moved, they are being controlled by foreign intelligence agencies which are working on the same goal which I spoke of just before, just minutes ago. So this is the first track to work on preventing the aims of this insult and this campaign from being fulfilled, this assault on the Prophet of Islam and the Islamic Ummah. There are other goals, of course, but we'll speak about them later. We have, for example, the insult of Islam, tarnishing the reputation of Islam, tarnishing Islam as a religion. This also needs a confrontation. There are other goals as well. However, the second track, which is to prevent the assault from being repeated in the future, I'll speak about this as well. But let me focus on another point. This film, this insulting film in the United States of America. So let's specify and pinpoint everything in reality. The film was produced in the United States of America. There are people who are responsible for the production of this film, and there are people who are responsible for promoting this film. The Muslims stand and they tell the American government that this happened in your territory. You are saying, as they said over the past few days, you are saying we have nothing to do with this. The Americans are saying this, the American officials. And as some in the Arab and Islamic world are saying, they're trying to defend the American administration in this process. They're saying that the American administration has nothing to do with it. They're not responsible. Okay, I don't want to argue in this point. And those who are behind it and those who finance the film. This is something else. Let's leave this to the future. However, the Islamic world, which was insulted in its highest symbols, in the most important holy figure and the Quran, the Arabs must call on the American government, first of all, to stop uploading the scenes of this film, these insulting scenes. However, the American government isn't doing anything. They called the website, and the website said, I don't want to stop uploading. The Islamic world is also calling on the American government to abstain from broadcasting the whole film, the complete film. The Islamic world is calling on the USA to hold those people accountable, to hold them on trial, those who insulted the dignity and the family and the religion of 1 billion, 4 million people in the world, an ummah, one of the greatest ummahs in earth. However, the American administration isn't making any moves. What's even worse is that the American administration is saying it won't do anything, neither now nor in the future. And the excuse is that the American administration is saying it won't do anything, neither now nor in the future. And the excuse, which is known, the normal excuse, is the issue of freedom, freedom of expression, and the American principles, etc., etc. Here, my dear brothers and sisters, America is bearing witness, or it's showing us once again its hypocrisy. It's showing us how it's tricking people. It's showing us its double standards in dealing with the issues which concern ummas as a whole. And we heard, together we heard, I don't want to repeat some of the information over the past few days on the satellite media channels and in many debates, in many statements, we heard this issue, and witness testimonies were also heard. The issue isn't such in America nor in Europe, and we have many points which show that people have been tried, people have been held accountable, and people have been punished. Intellectual figures, political figures, media figures, certain groups, certain institutions, certain satellite channels, media internet websites, official employees, also employees in the private sector, countries, conferences, all of them were punished and held accountable because of their ideology or their thinking of, or for expressing their opinions, only because, for example, they took a stance towards or against the Zionist movement, or because they speak about Israeli massacres in occupied Palestine and in the region, or if they express doubt regarding the Holocaust. Roger Garoudi and other journalists and intellectuals and countries, the United States of America, it even links its assistance to many other countries of the world, it links this assistance with the level of performance, not only official performance, but also the performance of the private sector in any country regarding anti-Semitism. Isn't this part of freedom of expression? On the 16th of the 10th, year 2004, George Bush signed a law regarding the tracking down of anti-Semitism in the world. Some sides summarized and said that this law targets any behavior or any statement or any pointing out in any way whatsoever in images or cartoon figures or words with anything which harms the Jewish or Zionism or Israel directly or indirectly. This will be considered as racism against the Israelis because it means anti-Semitism, discrimination. And they even put together, or they established, a special office in the State Department which oversees the implementation of this law in America and in the whole world, and also with respect to the performance of the governments in the world and the private institutions, the non-governmental organizations and institutions. And the State Department annually would hand over its report to the American administration and to the Senate, and based upon this report, decisions or measures and sanctions are imposed on governments and on institutions and on certain figures. This is not on the level of America only, but on the level of the whole world. And this is something which is being implemented, which has been continuing ever since 2004 until now. Why, for example, if Al-Manar, if it broadcasts a certain program, we were held accountable in France and also in the whole world, and there was a war launched on Al-Manar, and the same goes for other satellite channels. The Muslims, the Ummah of 1,400,000,000 people, those who follow a great religion, those who follow a great prophet, those who have this position, this great presence in the world, don't they deserve a law which is similar to this law regarding anti-Semitism? Or should they confront freedom of expression when it comes to that issue, but not confront it in this issue regarding Islam? So what I'd like to say is that we are up against more tricks and more proof of the hypocrisy and the double standards of the United States of America in dealing with issues which are not related only to politics or to economy or to security or wars. This is related to dignity and sanctities, and also insulting or harming ummas as a whole. And this is something which must be focused in the minds and the vigilance of the Islamic people and all the people who love peace and coexistence and forgiveness in the world, whether they be Christians or followers of the other religions and other ideologies. Number four, to work on preventing the repetition of this assault, to prevent it from being repeated in the future. And this is something which is the most important. We must not only say that we'll protest and we'll demonstrate, we'll express our anger, and then we'll go back to our homes. Okay, this happened before, but it did not prevent the repetition of this assault on our Prophet and on our sanctities and our Quran, and it will not prevent in the future as well. Previously, in confronting the book of satanic verses, we saw huge demonstrations, even bigger than the ones we witnessed over the past few days. And Imam Khomeini, may peace be upon his soul, issued a fatwa which was supported by the high-ranking senior Islamic clerics in the world. This is something which had a very big effect, and it prevented such an assault from being repeated for many long years. And actually, the book was isolated, the author was isolated, the libraries or the publishing centers which wanted to sell it, there were very big results regarding stopping this. However, lately we've gone back to the same story in the insulting cartoons in the European newspapers, burning of copies of the Holy Quran, and now, which is most dangerous and more big, the issue of this film, as I said before. What does this mean? This means that we must close this door. We must close this door once and for all. Today, this is our historic responsibility on the shoulders of the Islamic Ummah. And also, every honorable Christian who believes in coexistence and forgiveness must assume this responsibility. This is an occasion now to deal a decisive blow, to close this door once and for all. Can this be achieved? Yes, it can be achieved. Let's give you some examples. First of all, I'm not bringing something new. First of all, we must work on issuing an international resolution or an international decision in all world institutions, the highest level institutions, which make an insult to religions a crime, which makes this a crime, the religions of Christianity, Islam and Judaism, and especially insults of the most important prophets, especially Prophet Muhammad and Abraham and Jesus and Moses. This is something which can be achieved when such an international decision or international resolution is adopted. It must be a binding resolution for all governments in the world. It must go for all national laws in all countries of the world. When this happens, this will close the door, because everybody knows that those who write or those who draw or those who produce movies or films or television programs or publish, they will be punished in any place in this world, and they won't find anyone to protect them or defend them. Okay, this is something which can be achieved. Second of all, even on other levels, the United States of America and Europe, in America, the Congress, didn't it issue, or wasn't it behind the resolution regarding anti-Semitism and making it a crime? The Congress can also reach a similar resolution which makes insults to prophets a crime as well. What can prevent this? It's the same way. What was mentioned regarding anti-Semitism exists in this case as well. Why do you make this a crime and you don't make the issue regarding the prophet a crime? So in this perspective, the Islamic people, the Islamic community in the United States of America has a historic legitimate responsibility, a very big responsibility, and the Islamic community can put pressure in this regard. The Zionists or the Jews or the Jewish groups, they are not bigger in number, they are not more numerous, they might have bigger influence. However, the Islamic groups, the Islamic institutions, the Islamic community in the United States of America can have an effect on this level. Now here, it's not related to one religious sect or a specific Islamic figure. It's about the Prophet of the Muslims, the Quran. And today, on the doorstep of the American presidential elections, the Islamic community in the United States of America can play a very strong role. And it can pressure in order to issue or to reach such decisions in Congress or to get commitments from this political party or that political party, these parties who are competing for presidency, in order to reach such a resolution, such a decision. The so-called friends of America in the Arab and Islamic world, they can also put pressure in this direction. All of the free world must put pressure in this direction. Here, it's not only about assaulting the dignity of a human being. Now, it has reached a level, and it will in the future, it is targeting the regional and international security. We don't know where things might head towards. We don't know. Can we put a stop to the anger of the hundreds of millions of people, the followers of this prophet or that prophet, when these prophets are insulted? And the same goes for the European parliaments, and the European parliament specifically. Today, in some of the European parliaments, we have similar resolutions, similar laws or bills. Those who deny the existence of a certain massacre are being accused of a crime. Those who deny the Holocaust are being accused of a crime. Didn't Roger Garudi face this punishment? Those who insult any religion must be held accountable, must be accused of a crime, and hence this door will be closed. They must be criminalized. And in following this mechanism, we must call on the organization of the Islamic Corporation on the level of the summit. If an attempt to burn part of the Aqsa Mosque led to the establishment of the organization of the Islamic Corporation, if just a few weeks ago an Islamic summit was held in the holy city of Mecca, although the excuse was because of what's happening in Burma or in Syria or in Palestine, however, today what is going on is a lot more dangerous. At a much higher level, this is your prophet, you governors, you rulers, you princes, you presidents. This is your prophet, this is your Quran, this is your Islam, your religion. This is your ummah, which is being insulted. Its dignity is being insulted. And it's very strange that none of you is expressing or raising his voice. And I'd like to swear to you, if this film had targeted an Islamic king or an Islamic emir or an Islamic head of state of one of the Islamic countries, as it targeted the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, if this had happened, you would have found that this king or this head of state or this emir or this president and his family and his government and his party and his country, their reaction would have been different than we are witnessing today. And this is sad. In the mechanism, we need an emergency session for the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. If we are that weak in the Islamic world, at least the least we could do is to hold an emergency session for the foreign ministers of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. A draft resolution should be put together, and we should all go as Islamic countries to the United Nations and to America and to Europe, and we should call for this draft resolution to become an international law, to become an American law, to become a European law. That's what we should call for. We are an ummah which has great capabilities on the political level, on the economic level, on the material level, on the media level, on the cultural level, on the intellectual level. Are we that incapable of defending our Prophet and defending our Quran and our sanctities? The responsibility of Islamic people today is to call on its rulers to take such steps. This is the least which we can do as Islamic people in this direction. We must not only express our anger towards the American embassy here or there. We must also tell our rulers in the Arab and Islamic world that this is your responsibility, first and foremost, and you are capable because you represent officially the governments and the states of the Islamic world, you must force the United States of America and Europe and the whole world, you must force them to respect our Prophet and our Quran and our sanctities and the family of our Prophet, may peace be upon him. Now, this is the general stance. This is the appropriate behavior if we want to prevent a similar assault in the future against the Prophet and against the Quran and the wives and the family of a Prophet, and to prevent an assault on Islam and the religion. We must go in this direction, and the whole world must understand that this will have severe repercussions, and this ummah cannot be silent towards a continuation of insults in such a way, in such a dangerous way. With respect to Lebanon, of course, thank God, in these days, over the past 3 days, today and the previous 2 days, Lebanon has expressed a high level of immunity against the aim of the assault which I spoke of before, a conflict between Muslims and Christians. On the contrary, Lebanon presented a new example, and it showed us once again that Muslims and Christians coexist. They live together. They respect, they have mutual respect. The Muslims and Christians respect one another's religious symbols, and they respect one another's sanctities. And this is what we saw over the past 3 days during the visit of the head of the Catholic Church in Lebanon and the meetings which brought together spiritual leaders from the Muslims and Christians, and also other political leaders, Muslim and Christian, and people and youth, Muslim and Christian. And this visit ended peacefully. It went through in a very good way, and I believe, God willing, it will be in the interest of the nation and in the interest of the world. Lebanon, the Lebanon of coexistence, can play a unique role because it is the country of Muslim-Christian coexistence, and what happened and what is happening now is an assault from people who belong to Christianity. They are the ones who are targeting the Prophet of Islam and the sanctities of Islam. And so Lebanon has a unique position in this confrontation. And here I'd like to address the Lebanese president and the parliament speaker and the Lebanese parliament in general, the prime minister, the Lebanese government, the spiritual leaders in Lebanon, the Muslims and the Christians in Lebanon, the different political movements in Lebanon, whether March 8 or March 14, because when it comes to this issue, it is above political divisions and internal disagreements. And I'd like to say at this stage, Lebanon can play the role of a message on the world level, on the global level. How? Lebanon is a member of the Arab League, and today Lebanon is the head of the Arab Foreign Minister Council. Lebanon is a member of an Organization of Islamic Cooperation. It's a member of the United Nations General Assembly. And in just a few weeks, the General Assembly sessions will be held. Lebanon can call for an emergency session for the Arab League, at least at the level of foreign ministers, and it can also call on Iraq, and I hear I'd like to call on the Iraqi government, which heads the Arab League now, to take such a step. Lebanon officially can call, being supported by national political consensus, Lebanon can call for an Islamic summit for the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and adopt certain ideas which criminalize the insults to the prophets and the religions, the holy books. Lebanon can do this. The spiritual leaders, by their meetings, by their ties in the Arab and Islamic world and in the whole world, especially with the West, the spiritual leaders in Lebanon can also play a unique role on this level. The Lebanese government also must take a decisive stance. The Lebanese parliament must take a decisive stance. The parliament speaker, Mr. Nabih Birri, also has a long period of experience in dealing with the issue of Arab parliaments and Islamic parliaments and the international parliaments, and also the parliament speaker can play a role together with the Lebanese parliament, a unique role on the level of the world parliaments in order to reach laws in the international parliaments, reach laws which I spoke of. So Lebanon, yes, it can play a big role, a lot bigger than Lebanon's size. And Lebanon was always bigger than its size when it comes to civilization, when it comes to values, culture, when it comes to ideology, when it comes to coexistence, when it comes to the religions, the holy religions. Today, Lebanon is called upon to play a very big role. Now, on the popular level, the popular request must continue. First of all, with respect to what was said before, we must stop. People in Lebanon must call for stopping the uploading of these scenes on the internet. They must also call for preventing this whole film, the whole 2 hours, from being uploaded. And third, they must call for holding those who are responsible for this film, holding those accountable, so that they could be a lesson for all other people. And there should also be movements on the level of the Islamic and Arab world. There must be demonstrations, there could also be strikes, there could be gatherings, there could be statements issued, there could be meetings held, articles could be written, the media can also play a role, the political factions, popular movements. We can take steps in every country, if not in the Islamic world, in every country, bureaus or committees could be formed to hunt these people down and to work on finding a law which criminalizes the insults to the holy religions, criminalizes these insults in the international institutions. These efforts should begin and continue. Here I must draw the attention of the Arab and Islamic world, that the friends of America in the world and in the Arab and Islamic world specifically, they will work on trying to cool this issue down, to try and make us forget this. And as each day passes, certain incidents and events might be invented, and the media outlets might be called upon the request of the American administration not to focus to make this die down. And so we must be cautious in this regard. Today there is a historic responsibility and a religious responsibility on the Muslims who are in this era, this Muslim generation. It has a historic responsibility. If we don't take complete responsibility, these insults to our Prophet will be repeated, and the insults to all previous prophets will be repeated. The insults to our holy book and to all holy books and to all religions and to the dignities of the whole Ummah. All these insults will be repeated if we are not vigilant. Also on the Lebanese level, we should take the step, we should have taken the step to call for a protest. But as I said, over the past 3 days, we had a special, unique situation. We didn't want to take advantage, or we didn't want any gathering or process to be taken advantage of for the wrong reasons, which might serve the goal of the enemy. So for this reason, we chose Monday, tomorrow, which will be the beginning of our movement, although we were the first to issue statement and we were the first to express our condemnation and denunciation and our readiness to confront. We call for a protest tomorrow in the southern suburbs of Beirut at 5 o'clock local time in the afternoon. And this is part of a movement which must continue in Lebanon and in the Arab and Islamic world. And I'd like to tell our Arab and Islamic people in every country that we must not only focus that in one capital there were protests and it's okay. In every city, not in every village, but in every city, the Muslims must go down to the streets and they must express their anger and condemnation. The world must bear witness, the governments of the world, the parliaments of the world, they must bear witness to this, because it is very effective. And all these governments and all of these parliaments must understand. They must understand that their interests in our Arab and Islamic world are related to their respect for our sanctities, the sanctities of the Arab and Islamic world. We in Lebanon, tomorrow, we have the march in southern Beirut, and this march in southern Beirut, I am not going to tell the people to come from other areas. It's for Beirut and the suburbs of southern Beirut, because the other areas must also have their own marches and movements. I call for a demonstration in the southern city of Tyre on Wednesday, in Baalbek in eastern Lebanon on Friday after Friday prayers. I call for a protest there, in Bint Jbeil in southern Lebanon on Saturday afternoon, in Hirmil, eastern Lebanon, Sunday afternoon. These are times which we can work on. The people of the villages, of the surrounding villages of these areas, can participate in the protest in these cities. The city is the center of the area, and it will bring together the people, bring together the movement, which will continue over the next few days to express this stance. At the end of this speech, I would like to address those who I'm calling to assume responsibility and to protest. I call on them, and I would like to tell all those who are called upon to participate over the next few days, especially those whom we expect to be present tomorrow Monday at 5 o'clock p.m. local time in front of the Sayyid Shuhada compound in southern Beirut. You honorable people, you were always present. You were always present on the front lines to defend the dignity and the honor and the sovereignty and the nation and the sanctities. And when it was required to shed your blood, you also shed your blood. Your blood was spilt. And when it was required to sacrifice your lives, you sacrificed your lives. And when it was required to sacrifice your beloved went ahead and became martyrs. And when it was required to provide financing and money or homes, you weren't greedy. You provided all this, and you put up with a lot of pain, and you did not back down from fulfilling your duty. You honorable people, you every year, and on the 10th day of Muharram, of Ashura, you fill the squares, men and women, the elderly, the young, for long hours, and you answer the call of Imam Hussein, may peace be upon him, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. Is there anyone who will help me achieve victory? And you tell him on every day of Ashura, with your high voices, you say Labbayka Ya Hussein, meaning I will be there to help you. I will meet your request, Imam Hussein. You honorable people, he who is calling you today is the grandfather of Imam Hussein, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, who was insulted, whose dignity was insulted, and he is the greatest human being throughout history. His Quran was insulted, his family and his wives were insulted, his religion, his Islam, his history, his life was insulted. So answer the call of your Prophet, answer the call of your great messenger. My beloved, honorable people, the whole world must see you tomorrow. And over the next few days, in southern Beirut, and in Tyre, and in Baalbek, and in Bint Jbeil, and in Hirmil, in every city, you have a responsibility. In every place you are present, in the Arab and Islamic world, and in the whole world in general, and the Lebanese communities outside Lebanon, the whole world also must see the anger in your faces, and in your fists, and in your screams. And the whole world must also know that this great prophet has followers, followers who will not be silent to insults or humiliation, whatever be the sacrifices. And let the call be strong. Let the call shake the world. Let the call be strong. Labbayka ya Rasulullah, meaning we answer your call, Rasulullah, the Prophet. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.